Today's daf is Psachim daf Pei Vav, and we have three lines from the bottom of daf Pei Hei Amid Beis, Hachaloi Nois Va'oivei Achoyma V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema. V'Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leia, Dvora bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Moshe Abba ben Devora, and Miro Basar Rivka. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos V'Yecheskel Shrag ben Miro, and today's daf is being learned L'Ilui Nishmas Chaim Nachmin Ben Yaakov Yitzchak HaKoyen, and Le'ilu Nishmas Avram, Ben Yibadu L'Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah, at the very end, mentioned a halacha as it relates to the walls of Yerushalayim, and as the Gemara clarified, the walls of the Azara. Meaning, the Chaymois of Yerushalayim and the Chaymois of the Azara had significance in halacha. Kachim Kadashim that goes outside the Chaymois of the Azara becomes Pasul B'yotze. Kachim Kalim that goes outside the Chaymois of Yerushalayim becomes Pasul B'yotze. The question is, what part of the wall is considered inside and what part of the wall is considered outside? So on that note, the Mishnah concluded and said, Hachaloinois, the windows of Yerushalayim, Va'oyve Yachayma, and the thickness of the wall, meaning any area that's on top of the wall, kilafnim, that's considered inside. It would have a din of Yerushalayim. So the chaloinos, the windows of the walls, were considered Yerushalayim. And if one were on top of the actual wall, it would also be considered as if he was in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav said, Gagin va'aliyos lo niskachu. The rooftops and the attics in Yerushalayim did not have any kedusha. So, for example, Kachim Kalim had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Maisa Sheni had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. What if somebody has a nice rooftop and he sits there and he wants to eat his Kachim Kalim? He wants to eat his Maisa Sheni. Rav said a very big kiddush. He said the roofs and the aliyos, the attics of Yerushalayim, have no kedusha. Great, the Gemara Eni is that. So, what Rav said, Mishum Rav Chiyo, in the name of his uncle and his Rebbe Rav Chiyo, Kizaysa Pischo, the Halelo Paka Igro, the Kizayas of the Karban Pesach, and the Halal that was recited at the time of eating the Karban Pesach was so powerful that it literally almost cracked and broke the roofs of all the houses. It sounds like that when the Idin used to eat the Karban Pesach, so they would take their Kizayas, bring it on top to the roof, they would recite Halal, being that each person was only eating a Kizayas, Ayin Rashi, so it almost felt like there were so many people there and so much singing that the windows are going to crack, quote unquote, the roof was literally going to cave in. So the Gemara says, my lab, it certainly sounds like the Achli Be'igro, not Amri Be'igro, that they would eat on the roof and they would say Halal on the roof, not like Rav. Rav said, the Gagdim Olay Neskadish. If the roof doesn't have a din of Kedushas Yerushalayim, then how could you eat the Karban Pesach on the rooftops? The Karban Pesach is Kachim Kalim and had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, like Achli Be'arav Amri Be'igro. What Rav meant when he said the name Reb Chiyo was they used to eat the kizayis of the Karban Pesach downstairs and then they would go up on top of the roof and that's when they would sing Hallel, and it was during the Hallel that there was this feeling as if the roofs were going to cave in. Says the Gemara, hey, and he can't because but tonight we learned to the Mishnah, hey, maftir nachar, Pesach, afi koymen. We know the Mishnah. What the Mishnah means is you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoyman. The reason you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoyman is because we eat the Afikoyman Zecher for the Achilas Karban Pesach. If we would have a Karban Pesach, we would need Afikoyman. But we don't have a Karban Pesach, so we eat a Kizayis of Matzah as a Zecher to the Kizayis of Basar that was once upon a time the Karban Pesach. And the halacha is that after the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat anymore. But Amar Rav, Rav had a slightly different understanding of this halacha. What it means is that you're not allowed to eat, not in the place that you ate the meal, maybe that you can eat, but you can go to another area and eat. The point is that after you eat the Karban Pesach, it sounds like you can't go anywhere. So if you can't go anywhere, then how could the Gemara say that when Rav said in the name Rav Chiyah, Kizaysa Pischav Alelo Paki Igra, means that really they ate the Kizayis Pesach downstairs. Because Rav Sheet is that the roofs didn't have any Kedusha. But they used to go upstairs to say the Halal. You can't do that. Once you ate downstairs, you're not allowed to go upstairs anymore. The Gemara says, like Kashna, Kan Beshas Achila, Kan Shalei Beshas Achila. No, Rav didn't say, Ey Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikom, you're not allowed to go anywhere after. If you know, you're allowed to go home if you eat the Seder someplace. What it means is you're not allowed to eat someplace else. Okay, so they finished eating and then they went upstairs to say the Hal. The point is, Rav Shita is that the roofs of Yerushalayim didn't have any Kedushin of Yerushalayim. If the roofs didn't have any Kedushin of Yerushalayim, it's true they couldn't eat the Karban Pesach on the rooftops. Ay, Kizeso Pischa V'Halelo Paki Igra. emphasis on Halela, not on Kazaisa Pischa, because the Kazaisa of the Karban Pesach, in fact, could not have been eaten on the roof. It had to be eaten downstairs. Zok the Gemara Toshma. So from here until the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss this Chiddush of Rav. And this is a major Chiddush that's discussed in different places, that the Gagin and the Aliyos of Yerushalayim had no Kedusha. So the Gemara asks, Abashol Oimer, Abashol Zar Aliyos, Beis Kacha Ekadoshim, Chamuro, Mi Beis Kacha Ekadoshim. The attic that was on top of the Kachay HaKadoshim actually had more Kedusha, or not more Kedusha, but was more Chomor, said Abishol, than the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a second story. There was a floor and an attic, quote unquote, on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's hard to picture that, but that's the way it was. So on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was actually an Aliyah. And Abishol said that from a halachic standpoint, it was actually treated a little bit more stringently. How so? Shabbos Kodesh HaKadoshim, because as relates to the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, Kohen Gadol nichnas le'pamachas b'shana, Kohen Gadol would enter there once a year, on Yom Kippur. The Aliyah is based Kodesh HaKadoshim, but as relates to the Aliyah that was on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ein nichnasam le'pamachas b'shavu, Kohen Gadol even wouldn't go there ever. But when would anybody go? Once a Shemitah, v'amid l'asam say p'mayim l'shvu, twice a Shemitah, v'amid l'asam say p'machas b'yoyvel, amul ha'yoyvel. Later, why would they go? To know, ma'hi tzricha, to see what needs to be done. Meaning, the only reason anybody would ever go there was for maintenance purposes. But the point is, that what do you say? That the aliyah that was on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim had Kedusha. It's not like Rav. Rav said, Gagin va'aliyas lo neskachu. Here you see clearly that the aliyah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim had Kedusha. In fact, it was more chomer than the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. Because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, people would go, Kohen Gadol, once a year. But the aliyah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, according to one sheet, once every 50 years. What's the problem? Why can't you go to the aliyah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? I thought it has no Kedusha. This would seem to be a bomb kasha on Rav. Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef heard the question and he said, almost sarcastically, Mehechel Nekem Venesa Vinish? What, somebody asking a question from the Hechel? Rav wasn't talking about the Hechel. Rav said, Gagin Valiois Loin Neskachu. Did you hear him say Hechel? Shani Hechel. Hechel's different. Dechsiv. Because there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Aleph. The pasuk says, Vayitein David L'Shloimo Benoi Estavnis Ha'ulon. David HaMelech gave Shloimo the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, but he was the architect. And he handed Shloimo HaMelech the tavnis of the ulam, the esbatov, the ganzakov, the aliyosov, the chador of apnimim, ubeis haparoiches. Okay, so the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash was presented to Shlomo HaMelech by his father David. Now, Siv, where did David HaMelech get it? Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem olai hiskol. Also a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, an often quoted pasuk in Sefer Kachim, that every measurement, every nuance, literally every screw, every knob in the Beis HaMikdash was with a cheshbon. Everything had to be done al pi nevuah. Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem olai hiskol. That means that everything that's mentioned in the previous pasuk that David HaMelech gave to Shlomo, everything that was in the blueprint that was written and drawn up by the architect really came from the Nevi'im. Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem olai hiskol. It really came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one of the things that were mentioned there is Aliyosa. So here's the leap of faith. The assumption is that if Hashem was the one who designed, quote unquote, the Aliyah, it has to be the Aliyah has Kedusha. So Rabbi Yosef said it's true. The Aliyah of the Heichel and certainly of the Kodesh HaKadoshim had Kedusha. I, Rav, said, Gagin v'Aliyah slay neskachu. He wasn't referring to the Heichel. What was he referring to? So he was referring to Yerushalayim, and as we'll see in a moment, maybe he was even referring to the Azara. But the Heichel al Kolponim, that it's true, because of these Psukim Divrei Hayomim, they for sure had Kedusha, and that's why the Aliyah that was on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim had the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so much so that there wasn't even a heter to go into every Yom Kippur, and that's why Avishol said, Chamura mi Beis Kachay HaKadoshim was the Aliyah of the Beis Kachay HaKadoshim. Toshma, another right. Halishkeis HaPnuyos B'Kodesh, the Lishkeis, the different chambers that were built in the Azara, in the part of the Azara that was Kodesh. Upsucha Islacha. However, they had entrances that opened up to Chal. So when we talk about Kodesh and Chol in the Azara, Chol means the Harabayas. Harabayas has Kedusha, it's Machna Leviya. But relative to the Azara and the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was really Chol. So the word Chol shouldn't be taken out of context. So there were certain Lishkai, certain chambers that were partially in the Azara, meaning partially Bakodesh, but also partially Bechol. So this Braisa is describing the Lishkais that were built in the Azara. However, the entrance was Bechol. That was the only way to get in and out. It was through the Harabais. So that loch is Toichen Chol. Being that the Pesach was the Chol, so the inside of the Lishka, even though technically it's in the ear space of the Azara, it had a din of Chol. The Gagoy Sein Kodesh. But the roofs had a din of Kodesh. So what do you see from here? The roofs had Kedusha. Now we're not talking about the Heichel. Here we're talking about the Azara. So again, it's a Kashna Rav. Rav said, Gagim Bel Yislein is Kachru. You see clearly the Gagis had Kedusha. So the Gemara says, Tigma Rav Chizda, Sebesh Gagis, Sein Shavon Lekarka Azara. These Lishkois that's being described is talking about Lishkois that were underground, which means that the roofs were parallel to the ground of the Azara. So they're not really roofs. They're roofs in the relative sense, because the Lishka itself is underground. Thus, its roof is the ground. But from a Gagin Va'aliyos Lein Niskachru perspective, we look at it as Karka Azara. We look at it as Ritzbas Azara. And as a result, it's going to have Kedusha. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if that's the case, Eimah Seif, look at the Seif of that exact halacha, Benuyas, Bechol, what would be even the reverse? If the Lichkins were built, Bechol, Psuchas, the Kodesh, but they opened up the Kodesh, Eichon Kodesh, that halacha is the Evadin of Kodesh, same Svara, that whatever it opens up into, that's what defines its status. So if it's built b'kodesh, it opens the chayil, it has a din of chayil. If it's built b'chayil, it opens the kodesh, it has a din of kodesh, and the gag is saying chayil. In that case, the gag is not going to be chayil. What's the kash? If it's talking about where the rooftops mushava to the karka, meaning these are underground lishkois, so if that's the case, that means this underground lishka is a tunnel, essentially, right? It's underground. That the mechilas have not kedusha. So how is it possible to say that those lishkas have kedusha? Why would they have kedusha? Because they opened up the kodesh. At the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mechilas Lein Niskachu. Must be then that Bryce is not talking about where these chambers are underground. They're actually above ground. If they're above ground, where it says the Gagin had Kedusha, it sounds like these are real Gagins. It's a Kashan Rav. So the Gemara says, no, Kikam Rabbi Yochanan, Bepsuchas Larabais. This Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mechilas had no Kedusha. That was only psycho, that was only mechilas that were opened up to the harabayis, meaning they opened up to a place of chol. Kitanya hi, this aforementioned brisa is b'psuchos la'azara. It's referring to where it was opened up into an azara. If it opened up into the azara, that's why it would have kedusha. Freit gemara, from Rabbi Yehuda said mechilas b'tachas ha'heichol chol. Even the mechilas under the heichol were chol. So it sounds like the halach is that all the mechilas were chol. No, kitanya hi, shepsuchos la'chol. Again, it's talking about where it opened up the chol. If it opened up the chol, that's where it's going to be chol. Again, so we're discussing Rav Shita, who said, Gagin va'aliyos loy niskacha. First, the Gemara asked the kasha from Rav, who said, Kizesa pischa va'aleila paka igro. Sounds like they used to eat the Karban Pesach on the roofs of Yerushalayim. Certainly sounds like it had a din of Yerushalayim, because the Karban Pesach had to be nechal Yerushalayim. The Gemara said, that's not what it means. It means they said hallel on the rooftops. Then the Gemara has the kasha from the attic that was on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Yosef said, Mehechel Nekem V'Nesa Vinish. Who's asking kashas from the Heichel? Heichel's different. That's Hakol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskel. That for sure has Kedusha. Rabbi wasn't talking about that. And then the Gemara asked the kasha from a Mefurish HaBraisa, HaLishkois HaBnuyos B'Kodesh U'Psuchos L'Chol Toichon Chol V'Gagoyseim Kodesh. It's a Mefurish. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about where those roofs were parallel to the ground. It was an underground matzav, and as a result, it's not really a roof. Relatively speaking, it's a roof, but that's not really what it is. The Gemara says, Toshma, I'll ask you another question. The Gagai Kodesh, this is referring back to the Heichel. The roof of the Heichel was Kodesh. So, you see, the roof of the Heichel is Kodesh, you have a kasha. Now, you're going to say, what do you mean? We just discussed the Heichel. We just said, Mehechel, Nekem, Venesa, Vinish. So, what's the Gemara's kasha now from Gagai Heichel? So, the Teretz is Pashit, Rashi, because what was the reason you can't ask a kasha from the Heichel? Because there's something different about the Heichel? Not necessarily. It's because the Pasuk says that Vayitein David l'shloima yes tavnus u'ulam v'zbata v'ganzaka v'aliyos v'chador v'aprima v'esak ha'poros. And it also says Hakol b'sav v'yad Hashem alai hizkol. So everything mentioned in that Pasuk we know for sure has Kedusha. Now that Pasuk mentioned aliyosav. So from that Pasuk you know that the aliyos of the Heichel has to have Kedusha. But it didn't say anything about the roofs. So as a result it's not mochach that the roofs also are going to have Kedusha. So with the first Kashan Rav about the Heichel was from the Ali on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Rabbi Yosef said, Meheichel Nekem V'Nesa Vinish. How are you asking a Kashan from the Aliyah that's on the top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Aliyah is included in the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. Hakol B'Ksav Mayad Hashem Alai Hiskel. Right, it says Va'Ali Yosef. So for sure it has Kedusha. But it doesn't mention roofs over there. It doesn't say anything about Gagas. So if it doesn't say anything about Gagas, so this Kashan the Gemara has a right to say. V'Gagin Kodesh. And don't tell me Meheichel Nekem V'Nesa Vinish. Because in this case, as it relates to the roofs, there's no svara to be machalik necessarily between the Heichel and between the Azara. Either way, the Tizbar, the Gemara says, you can't ask this kasha anyways, because Vaktani, we have another braisa that says, Gagin halalu, the roofs of the Heichel, ain't oichel and shom kachem kadoshim. You now let a shech kachem kadoshim. If ain't shoichel and shom kachem kal, you now let a shech kachem kal. Vela kasha gagai koi. So we have a stiris. What's going on over here? Does the roof of the Heichel have kedusha? Does it not have kedusha? Omer Abchama bar Gurya, lo oislam beiz amlois. meaning it really didn't have Kedusha. However, the Chachamim carved out small parts of it and gave it Kedusha. Why? Why would there be a need for there to be aspects of it that has Kedusha? So it's for the two Amos. Now these two Amos that we're about to mention, Rashi says, is just a dugma ba'alma. It's an example of why they may have wanted a little sliver of it to have Kedusha. So what are these two Amos? Tonight we learned in the Mishnah. Beis Amos Hoyu, Beis Shushan Habira. There were two Amos and Shushan Habira. That's the Inyan of the Yoyma for today. So Shushan Habira, Rashi says, was a Bayis Habonui Halgoiva Hashar. This was a chamber. It was a room that was built on top of one of the gates. And the reason it was called Shushan Habira is because there was a picture of the skyline of Shushan Habira on that wall. We've spoken about this in Masechtas Menachos. We did a raid bite on this once. The idea was that the Yidden was supposed to remember from where they came and to be makir tov to the Persian government who gave them permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. It would be the equivalent of, you know, whatever. But the point is that was the idea of Shushan Habira. Says the Mishnah, there were two Amos in Shushan Habira. Achas al kerem mizrachis sefoynis, v'achas al kerem mizrachis deroymis. So one of these Amos were kept in one corner of this Shushan Habira, and the other one was kept in another corner. Shushan kerem mizrachis sefoynis, the one that was kept in mizrachis sefoynis, I see say al shalmoish chatzi etzma. Meaning, what does it mean it was an Amos? It was physically an Amos. It was a measurement that measured an Amos. But it was a half a etzpa bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amos. Shushan kerem mizrachis deroymis, the one that was in kerem mizrachis deroymis, I see was a half a etzpa bigger than that. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu's Amo, which is made up of six tefachim, Shaila in the Gemara, but Pashut was made up of six tefachim. One of these two Amos that were kept in Shushan Habira was a half a etzpa bigger than that, and the other one was even a half a etzpa bigger than that one. Nimtza, so if you do the back of the envelope arithmetic, Yisneiral Shal Moshe Etzpa. The bigger of the two was a full etzpa bigger than Moshe's, right? One was a half a etzpa bigger, the other one was a half a etzpa bigger than that, which means that the larger one was a full etzpa. What was the point? Achas gedev achas kintano, shiyu ha'umnin noitlan biktano, u'machzirim bigdoi v'kadeshlo yovu lidei me'ilo. The reason was because there were people that used to do work, artisans, on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash. So what they would do is, and this benefited Hekdesh big time, so what they would do is, somebody would come and he would measure and he would say, okay, I'm going to do a little bit of construction, we have to work, he's a goldsmith, he's a blacksmith, he's got clopper, whatever exactly he needs to do, what his job is going to be. So when they would measure using the larger measurement. So this is what you're going to do. Oh, you're going to build 10 Amos? So they took the big 10 Amos. But then when it came time to see what he actually did, they would use the smaller one. Now, why would they do that? That doesn't sound fair. I'm doing work for the bigger, but I'm ultimately going to get compensated based on the smaller. Yeah, they purposely did it this way because they wanted to make sure that the worker isn't going to be moil. Because what would happen is Hekdesh paid using Hekdesh money, obviously. Hekdesh raises funds and then they used it on a need-to-be basis. This is Kachet Bedek Abayis 101. So they would now take the money and they would pay him. When they paid him for the work he did, the Hekdesh money was Yatzel Uchulin, because it got transferred to the work. The compensation was where the chilul of the hektish happened. If, however, someone's going to do $90 worth of work and he's going to get paid $100, so that extra $10, he's now going to be moil. So as a preventative measure, hektish made it that the worker should always get a little bit less. It's like this is a buffer. There's a little bit of room that in the event that the math was off a little bit, they made a little bit of a mistake, the person won't end up being well. So that's why they had these Amos that were bigger than the traditional Amos that used to pull it out when they ever had to do work with these guys. Chevra. Vitarti Lomis, why do they have to have two? Why do you have to have two Amos that were bigger? Just have one that was bigger. Achas a kasper v'dahava v'achas l'binyana. One was for when this person was doing work with silver and gold. Then they used one that was only half a etzpa bigger. It's just not fair. This is expensive work. And the other one is when he was doing work with a binyan, then they used the one that was a binyan. But the point is that really the area that was on top of the heichal didn't have kedusha. But they carved out a little area that gave kedusha because they used to store things, such as the two Amos. Rashi says, lav dafka these two things. But these things and things similar to it were sometimes kept there. Zok the Gemara weiter. Tna, we learned in our Mishnah. The windows of Yerushalayim and the thickness of the walls had a din of inside. Bishlam hachaloynois mishkachas of the shapi lekarkazor. Bishlam of the windows, you could say it's talking about where it's not a real window. It's really shavat to the Azor or to Yerushalayim. Meaning it's talking about where it's the ritz, but it's really the ground. And therefore, it's not a kashan rav. Meaning, why would you think it's a kashan rav? Rav said, "Gagin va'aliyos le'niskach." What do you mean? You see, the windows and the top of the chayma did have kedusha, so it doesn't sound like rav. meaning anything that's above ground, according to Rav, doesn't sound like it has kedusha. So the window, you could always say it's not a big deal. Talk about a window that's shoved to the karka. A wall is always going to have a little bit of height. So if that's the case, that should be similar to the gagan and the aliyos. So why does it say in the Mishnah it has kedusha? Isn't that a kasha on Rav? So the Gemara says, no, lav dafka mishkachnas lo bebar shura d'chsir. There's a pasuk that says, "Vayavel chel v'chaima." V'amar Rab Acha, v'itemer Rab Chanina. What is this chel v'chaima? One is a shura, a wall, and the other one's a bar shura, a smaller wall. I mean, there's a concept of having a smaller wall that's going to be parallel to the ground. Rashi says because the Azara, that's what we're talking about specifically, was built on a mountain, Harabayis. And as a result, it's possible to have a wall that's really parallel to the ground, right? Just visualize it as it's walking up the mountain. The point is, again, it's talking about where it was Shava, and being that it's talking about where it was Shava, it's for that reason, it's not a kasha from our Mishnah, which, by the way, sometimes you have to learn through a whole sugya to figure out why we're even talking about what we're talking about. Right, today's daf started, Amar Rav, Gagin Va'aliyos Loin Neskacha. What does it have to do with our sugya? I mean, we learned the Mishnah, so we had a clue of maybe where this is going. But at first glance, we had rayas from all these different halachas with the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ma'inyin Shmita Itzal Har Sinai. What does it have to do with Perakeitz Atzoyim? We're about to return to our regular program, which is the halachas of Karban Pesach. So why would we discuss this Rav halacha? The teretz is because the Gemara thought that the Mishnah was a tiufta on Rav. The Gemara thought that from our Mishnah we have a kasha on Rav. We saved our Mishnah for the last. Sometimes the Gemara begins with the sugya. Here we concluded with the sugya, but it's because our Mishnah at first glance seems to be a little bit of a aura on Rav that we discuss Rav Shita. So again, what's Rav Shita? Gagin ve'aliyos lo neskachu. The rooftops and the aliyos, the attics, all the second floors don't have any kedusha. There's an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber discusses whether the aliyah of a shul has kedusha or doesn't have kedusha. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Eruch Chaim, Simin Kuf Nun Aleph, Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, Sivkan Yud Beis. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh li zor milihishtamish ba'aliyah shal gabi Beis HaKnesses, tashmish kavua shal gnai. A person has to be careful to not be mishtamish any tashmish shal gnai, bederech kavua, meaning on a consistent basis. If you're in an aliyah, you're in an attic, you're in a second story that's on top of a Beis HaKnesses. So what would be an example of a tashmish al gnai? You could go in Lishkaiv Sham to go to sleep there. V'shar tashmishim yesh lehistapik im mutal l'shtamisham. But as it relates to tashmishim, that's not a davar shal gnai. So there already it's a suffix. Says the Vilna Gaon, what's the suffix? He quotes the Mardchai. That the Mardchai said, the suffix is as follows. Because the Gemara came at him, sachtis psochim daf men pei heyam and beis and daf pei vavam and aleph. Amar Rav gagin v'aliyos. That the Gagin and the Aliyos did not have Kedusha. But after learning through the Gemara, what we saw is this caveats to that. You have to look at the fine print. Gagin v'Aliyos of Yerushalayim, Gagin v'Aliyos of even the Azara didn't have Kedusha. But the Heichel was different. Rabbi Yosef said, "Me Heichel nekem v'nesu v'nish," as it relates to the roof and the Aliyah of the Heichel, there it has Kedusha. So says the Vilna Gaon, you want to know what the suffix of the Shulchan Aruch is? Right, the Mechaber says, "Yesh lehistapik." Usually the Mechaber takes a position. Right, when you have a suffix, you open up the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch guides you and tells you what the halach is. Here the Shulchan Aruch is like talking it through with us. Yesh lehistapik and mutal l'shtamishom. So what was the suffix? What was the Shulchan Aruch not sure about? Says the Vilna Gaon, Shulchan Aruch had a suffix. If a Beis HaKnesses has a din of Azara, or if it has a din of a Heichel. If it has a din of Azara, Rav Zalachim, Gagin Valiyos Mlein Neskacho. If it has a din of Heichel, Me Heichel, Nekum V'Nesu V'Nish, of course the Heichel roof is going to have Kedusha. So says the Vilna Gaon, the Makar is a Mardchai in the first parak of Masechta Shabbos, that was the suffix of the Shulchan Aruch. The suffix of the Shulchan Aruch is, how do you view a Beis HaKnesses? Do you view it as a Azara, or do you view it as a Heichel? Just one Ha'ara that came to mind, and that is, there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer was asked, and this is in Eruch Chaim Simen Chaf Ches, where there was a shul that was being built, and they were designing the shul, and the minig in Klal Yisrael always was that the bima is in the middle of the shul. And they asked the Chassam Sofer if it's okay to put the bima in the front of the shul, like closer to the Aron Kodesh. Does a dafka have to be in the middle of the shul, or does a not dafka have to be in the middle of the shul? So the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva, there's a tshuva from the Netziv, and truth is the Rambam talks about this already, and there's a Kesef Mishnah, v'advarim atikin. This is a shaila that was discussed by the Gedolei Achronim. It was a shaila that unfortunately came up a lot in the 19th century, as things were starting to change, and
different modern ideas were starting to penetrate the way shuls were being built, and often sat geschmeckt a bissel from haskalah, and the rabbanim felt sometimes they had to put their foot down. But the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva, and this is what the Chassam Sofer wrote: toich devar. This was his chiddush. Umisvara oimar. I'm going to tell you a svara. Kivan shanu machzikim abima shabal kairin pashas akrabanus k'may mizbeach. He said we treat the bima like a mizbeach. When is that? One day a year. Well, really, 7 days a year on Sukkot. On Sukkot, we treat the bim as a mizbeach. Right, the whole Hoshana Rabbah, and really Hoshanas that we do, is all the zeichet to what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a mitzvah of Hoshana, of Arava it was called. And that mitzvah was to circle the mizbeach. Now, we don't have a mizbeach, so what do? We circle the bima. So says the Chassam Sofer, there's a pnimius atayra here. There's a depth here. That means the bima on some level has a din of a mizbeach. For oisay a mizbeach she'amad behechel, the mizbeach that stood in the hechel, lefnei aron hakodesh, shu mizbeach miktar haktoiris hoya oimed be'emtza habayis. The mizbeach had to be in the middle of the hechel, bein menoyer l'shulchan, ukepirish rashi beparshas truma, ukemavur b'shas yumal amad gimel amad beis, v'ramam hilchas beis abchira perak alaf halacha zayin. So says the Chassam Sofer, v'yan habima shalonu oimedes befnim ki mizbeach hapnimi. Being that our bima represents the mizbeach, al kein roi lahamidei be'emtze beis hakneses l'damoisei lebeis hamikdash b'chol ha'efshari, to try to make it resemble the beis hamikdash as much as possible. Ve'en l'shanois b'mikdash ma'at shalonu. He says, let's make our mikdash ma'at look as much as we possibly can as the heichal, as the beis hamikdash. So he says, if the beis hamikdash, there was a mizbeach that was be'emtze, and the bima is a mashal, ben benoishal mashal of the mizbeach, v'haraya, the mitzvah of Arava, the mitzvah of Eishan Arava. So it makes sense then, just like it's mevur and Rashi and the Rambam and the Gemara, that the mizbeach had to be be'emtze, so too what we should do, we should make be'emtze. And then the Rambam, then the Chassam Sofer at the end of the tshuva said, v'haklal, but l'maisa, as it relates to the shayla, the rule that I often tell my shoylem is a chadosh asim and a Torah b'chol makoy. And this is already a bechinah of chadosh. It's a bechinah of chadosh asim and a Torah. So he says that you should make sure that the beam is in the middle. And if people are not in agreement, you should protest. He says you should be moicha because it's the right thing to do. Chadosh asim and a Torah. But either way, this is a tshuvas Chassam Sofer that seems to be equating the Beis HaKnesses to a hechel. Reminded me of this Shaila, but either way, that's the suffering in the Shulchan Aruch. The Aliyos of the Beis HaKnesses, do we look at the Beis HaKnesses as the Heichel? Or do we look at it as Azor? Another interesting halachic Shaila, not for today, is that Avnei Nezer has a famous tshuva. It's in Yeredeya, tshuva Tof Nun, where he was asked if it's okay for a person when he goes to the Kosel HaMaravi, the mayor be a menu, but if somebody's by the Kosel HaMaravi, are you allowed to stick your fingers into the cracks of the wall? Maybe it's a gather of Oyvei Achayma and Chaloinos, and he gets involved in this whole Shaila, and he discusses over there, was the Kaisal HaMaravi the wall of the Harabais, right? Our Messiah is that the Kaisal HaMaravi is the wall of the Harabais. But in that tshuva, the Avni Nezer entertains another tzad, that maybe the Kaisal HaMaravi was actually the wall of the actual Azara, and it would impact this Sugya Ayin Sham. He goes through this Shaila over here, it's in Yeredeya, Simin Tof Nun, 450. It's up the Mishnah right there. So we're returning to the Halacha, that the Karban Pesach had to be Nechal B'chabura. There was also a Psul Yoytze in the Karban Pesach. So what was the Psul Yoytze of the Karban Pesach? Karban Pesach was Kachem Kalam. It could not be taken outside of Yerushalayim. But in addition to the fact that it couldn't be taken outside of Yerushalayim, the Karban Pesach had a unique Psul Yoytze that we saw a little bit about in yesterday's daf. And that is, it couldn't leave the house that it was being eaten in. Not just that, it couldn't even go mechabura lechabura within the house that it was being eaten in. So the Gemara is going to go a little more into these halachas. There were two chaburas. Now we're eating in the same house. So both of these chaburas, we're eating from the same Karban Pesach. Now this is an important halacha for today's daf. A Karban Pesach had to be eaten with chabura, but didn't have to be eaten with one chabura. You could have a break-off within the same Pesach. As long as it was planned that way initially, we'll see in the Gemara, there was an idea that one Karban Pesach could be eaten by two chaburas, three chaburas, four chaburas, and that's fine. So our Mishnah is discussing where two chaburas are eating from the same Karban Pesach in the same house. Says the Mishnah, Eilu hoifchen es pneim heilach v'oichlin, ve'eilu hoifchen es pneim heilach v'oichlin. They have to make sure that they're not facing each other while they're eating.
What's the svara? Because if it's two chaburos, you have to act like two chaburos. And you can't suddenly start mingling and act as if it's really one chabura. And we're so strict about it, you can't even be looking at each other. You literally have to be facing other directions while you're eating the carbon pasach. The mecham was the hot water that the shamish, he's the waiter, used to use to serve the chevra. So that mecham, assuming this waiter was serving both in the chaburas, he was allowed to put the mecham in between. It's not a problem. Not just that, the waiter is going to also have to eat the Karban Pesach, assuming he's a Yehudi, and he's now going to belong to one of these two chaburas. So he has to make sure that if he's getting up while he has food in his mouth, if he's going to be serving the other chabura, he has to close his mouth. He can't be chewing. He can't be eating. Because you have to eat dafka in your chabura. So what should he do? If he gets up, he closes his mouth, when he comes back to his chabura, then he continues eating. If there was a kala there, she's also allowed to turn her face away and eat. The Gemara will explain what this all means. Talk to Gemara. Since the man who's the Tanabar Mishis Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to the Brayso. So Al Habatim Asher Yoichlu Oisoy Bohem. So the pasuk says, "V'lachum in Adam, the Nasu Hashem is Uzois, Val Amashkoif Al Habatim Asher Yoichlu Oisoy Bohem." So the pasuk says that the carbon pesach had to be eaten in the houses. That a pesach could be eaten with two chaburas. What's the makar? So it's a lashon rabim or but. So we learn from there that it can be eaten even in two houses. You would think that you could eat your own carbon pesach in two places, meaning if there's a lashon rabim, so maybe I could eat part of my carbon pesach in one house, and part of my carbon pesach I'm going to eat somewhere else. Talmud Leimar, it says, "Bebayis echol yeyochel," it had to be in one house. So on the one hand, it says, "Alabatim asher yoichlu oisay bahem." This whole pasuk sounds lashon rabim, and then you have a pasuk that says "bebayis echol yeyochel." It has to be in one house. So what we learn from there is that you were able to divide the carbon pesach into multiple houses. That's the lashon rabim. But at the same time, each individual had to pick his house. He had to pick his chabura, and that's when you had to eat. That's the lashon yochel. You can't omer hashamish achal kizayis b'tzad hatanur. If the kizayis ate the shamish ate kizayis next to the tanur, meaning while he's cooking, right? He took a little something out of the pot. So then the halacha is, he's stuck. Now he has to eat his carbon pesach there. You're stuck next to the pot now. You're not going anywhere. It's a little embarrassing. And that's where you're going to have to eat your carbon pesach. See, pekeach, if he's a pekeach, he'll just finish his kazayas. He'll eat the shir carbon pesach. He'll be done with. If the oil wants to be kind to him, so he shouldn't be stuck there on an island. So, they can come sit next to him. Either way, this is the shinta of Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, what's Rabbi Yehuda's shinta? The carbon pesach itself could be divided into two chaburos. That's the lashon rabim. V'ala mashke v'ala batim asher yoichlu oisoy bohem. But at the same time, one person, once he picks his area where he's going to eat, even if the shamish took a bite next to the tanner, he's stuck now. Then you have the dinner, b'bayis echel yeyochel, it has to be in one house. Rabbi Shimon said just the opposite. When it says in the Torah, la batim asher yoichlu oisoy bohem, l'amit shoichlu oisoy bohem, that means to say you could eat in two places. I could start eating the carbon pesach in point A, and then I can walk over to point B. Yochel yeinechel b'shtei chaburis. You would think that the carbon pesach could be eaten in two chaburis l'katchilo. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said, Talmud Loimer, Bebayis Echol Yeyachel. No, it has to be eaten dafka in one house. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's actually just the opposite. L'katchilo, it has to be one chabura. However, you're allowed to eat in two places. So what does that mean? Just push it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the first shita, you can divide the Karban Pesach into multiple chaburas. Two chaburas, if you want, no problem. There's going to be chabur A, there's going to be chabur B. Chabur A is going to be eating in this dining room, and chabur B is going to be eating in that dining room. That's okay. That's fine. That's not a problem. If, however, you're part of chabur A, you can't leave. You have to eat where you are. Even the shamish took a bite out of the roasted Karban Pesach by the tana, you're stuck there. You're going to have to finish eating over there. Rabbi Shimon says, one chabura. You can't just make up chaburas. You have 100 people that ponder the same carbon pesach. All 100 people have to eat in the same dining room. However, there is an idea that if a person wants to leave, he can eat some of it somewhere else. So now, isn't leaving like making another chabura? The answer is no. He's just going off on his own. There's a difference between
systematically having two chaburas, and just a yachid who's part of a chabura, he gets up and he wants to eat somewhere else. So we have the stira between the Lashon Yachin and the Lashon Rabin that we're trying to reconcile. Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, almost the antithesis of each other in terms of how you're supposed to reconcile it. Our Mishnah, therefore, that said that you can have two chaburas, but at the same time, once you belong to a chabura, the shamish, the kal, right, you have to make sure you stick to your chabura. It's obviously Rabbi Yehuda. Well, you can have two chaburas, but once you're part of a chabura, you can't, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it would have no pshat. What's the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? I mean, they both reconciled it the way they did, but what urged each one to do it his way? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yesh Eim LeMesayris, Rabbi Shimon Savar Yesh Eim LeMikra. The pasuk says, Bebayis Echad Yeyachav. Now we have Nekudas, and because of the Nekudas, we know the way you're supposed to read it is, Bebayis Echad Yeyachav. But the truth is, if we didn't have Nekudas, then the way you would read it is, Bebayis Echad Yeyachav. Whenever you have a word that, without the Nekudas, you would think should be pronounced one way, but because of the Nekudas, it's pronounced somewhere else. There's a machloikis in Shas, how you're supposed to teach the word. I mean, you know how you read the word, that's not a shaila. You know how you write the word, that's also not a shaila. The shaila always is in the world of drasha, in the world of extrapolating halachas from this word. Do you extrapolate based on the way you would have thought to pronounce it, or do you do it based on the way it's actually pronounced? This is a classic, so many examples of this in Shas, but this is a classic example of it. Bebayis echod yeyachel. The pasuk that's in the singular that says one bias says yeyachel, but really, based on the yeshem lemesayris, it would have been yoichel. So Rabbi Yehuda says yeshem lemesayris. The way you read it is bias echad yoichel. You have to eat in one house. Rabbi Shimon holds yeshem lemikra. No, you look at the way it's actually pronounced. How's it pronounced? Bebayis echad yeyachel. Yeyachel doesn't mean how you physically eat it. Yeyachel means the way it's supposed to be set up. The way it's supposed to be designated, l'katchila, meaning, according to Rav Shimon, it doesn't have to be eaten in one chabura. Meaning, you can be part of a chabura and pick yourself up and eat somewhere else. Yeyachal just means that in terms of the chabura, it has to all be done in one chabura. What would be if you had a whole bunch of people that were sitting together, and all of a sudden a mechitza was plopped down in between? That's Rav Shimon Shito. They'd be able to eat. Meaning, even though the chabura just got cut into two, they put a mechitza in between, but it's fine. You're allowed to eat the carbon pesach and two chaburas. According to the man that says the pesach can't be eaten in two chaburas, they wouldn't be able to eat it. Because now that there's a mechitza, it's like you're eating it in another place. It just changed the structure of the chabura. There's a mechitza in between. As a result, you wouldn't be able to. What would be just the opposite? There was an oilam that was eating, and there was a mechitza. And then they removed the mechitza. According to the man that says, you could eat in two places. So the fact that you removed the mechitza, it's true, it changed the landscape a little bit, but it doesn't matter. According to the man that says that you can't eat in two places, you would not be able to. Rav kind of sat, and he was saying over these halachas as if very matter-of-factly, as if this is the way it is. Rav Ashi told Rav Kahana, you shouldn't be so poshid about what you're saying. Meaning, I hear what you're saying, but it's not so poshid. Really, you should say it as an ibaya. Siluk mechitza. Vasiyas mechitza. Mi have a gebez mekoymes, a gebez chaburis, tell me your Lord. I mean, if I were you, I would ask it as a shayla. I don't think it's so poshid. Because I can argue that, yeah, having a putting a mechitza or removing a mechitza changes the place. Obviously, it changed a little bit. But then again, being that no one picked themselves up and left, everyone's in the same place that they were in Ikara, so maybe it's not really like Beis Mekaymus. And the Gemara says, what's the bottom line? Is it Pashit? Is it not Pashit? It's not Pashit. How not Pashit? Teiku. Akalo hoyfeches espana. So the Mishnah said that Akalo, who's part of a Chabura, if she wants, she could turn her face while she's eating from the Karban Pesach and eat that. My time, why would she do that? The reason is because maybe she's embarrassed. Rashi says, Lecho le'enei ha'anoshe. Because people are looking at her. She's the kalo. So because of the busha, we allow her to turn away while she's eating the carbon pesach. Rafuna Breder Rav Nosson, Iklo Lebe Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rafuna Breder Rav Nosson, and some have the girsa, not Rafuna Breder Rav Nosson, but rather just Rafuna. He once came to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Amruleh, so they asked Rafuna, Mashmecha, what's your name? Amaluhu, he told them, Rafuna. My name is Rafuna. Amru, they said, Nesav Marapuria. He said, "Can you want to sit down on the couch?" Yosef, he said, "Certainly." Yavalei Kasa, they offered him a glass of wine. Kiblei Bechadzim, he took it. I mean, they didn't have to ask him a second time. The first time he said, "Sir, would you like a glass of wine?" He said, "Absolutely." He took it. The Shasi betrays Zimini. And when he drank it, he took down the wine in two gulps. Not just that, V'lo Ahada Ape. He didn't face the other direction while he was drinking, meaning he drank in front of them. Amrule. So they told him, like they were a little taken aback about the Anhaga of Rav Huna. So they said, number one, my time of Karus Nach Rav Huna. He said, when I asked you your name, why did you say your name is Rav Huna? Amalusi told him, I don't know, Bala Shemani, that's my name. What should I have told you? My name is Rav Huna. Then they said, my time of Kyamaluch Nesav Apuria Yosfes. How come when I told you to sit down, did you sit down? Amalui says, because I have a cloud. He says, what do you mean? I'm your guest right now. You told me to sit down. I sat down. Then they said, my time, how come when we offered you a glass of wine, you took it right away? Like, why didn't you put up a little bit of a fight? Now you're very chashiv. And right? If somebody chashiv asks you to do something, you're supposed to oblige. They said, my time, he said, why did you drink it in two gulps? Why not one? Why not three? He told him, the time you were learning to the if somebody drinks a glass of wine in one shot, Harez a gargaron. He's a fresser. Shnayim, if he does it in two derech eretz. That's the refined way of doing it. Shloisha, three sips migasi aruach. Then you're already a besser mensch. That's already an element of gaiva. So he said, no, this is the way you're supposed to do it. Then they say, my time alo yahadras apach. So he said, how come you didn't turn your face around while you were drinking? Why did you drink in front of us? Amalus. He told him, it's a mishnah. Kalo yfeches paneh tonight. There's an idea. Kalo, she turns her face around. What does it have to do with me? So the Gemara says on that, no, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, Itkul, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi, Ben Lekunya. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi was once by Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi, Ben Lekunya. They offered him a glass of wine. Kibla Bechadzimya, he took it right away. Vishnasi Bechadzimya, and he drank down the glass of wine in one gulp. Amrule, they told him, he said, why do you do that? That's not fine, Midos. You shouldn't have taken it down in one shot. You were supposed to do it in two shots. That's Derech Eretz. You do it in one shot, you're a gargon. Amalusi told him, such a halacha. But that's if you get a real glass of wine. Said, you gave me a little shot cup. You know, what did you give me over here? This is so small. A cup like this, and you can take in one shot. Not just that, you ain't a chmasuk. Your wine is very sweet. It's not a dry wine. It's very sweet wine. So it's very easy to drink it. The crazy rechava. And I also didn't mean someone that has an appetite like I do. And as a result, this is very different than your normal circumstances. And as a result, the ordinary halacha isn't going to apply. Just one last gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, b'nei chabur nechnasim b'shloisha. We're talking about the Bnei Chabura. We also mentioned something in the Mishnah about the waiter. So it says the Gemara on that note that Rav Huna said the following halacha. If the Bnei Chabura that sit down with need to come with three people, meaning if they hire a waiter, it has to be a table for three. Because if it's going to be less than three people, the assumption is it's going to be a big tircha for the waiter. I guess if the waiter is waiting a bunch of tables, but the point is going to be a tircha for the waiter. And therefore, you start with three, but it doesn't mean all three people have to be there at the same time. I mean, if somebody wants to leave, he can leave and leave two people behind, and then that person can leave, and then there could be the one person who's waiting for the check, I guess, but he's allowed to be there. But the point is, it starts with three, but it can end even, Rabbi said, number one, that's only true if this last person that's there is there at least at the time that people are still there. I mean, you can't just be there, you know, ad alois nashachar and expect this person to wait you. This is just halachas and shulchan aruch of hilchas waiters. V'hu deragash b'hu daila, and not just that, it has to be where they told the person l'katchila that it could be at some point you're only going to be waiting for one, you're only be serving one person. Otherwise, not such a problem. Not just that, when they pay, they should pray pro rata. Meaning, if one person stayed there longer, she should end up paying more. Not just that, also you should make sure he leaves a nice tip. But after all of this, the halacha really isn't like Ravina's fine print that he said related to this halacha. Hadron halach, ketzad silent. So just two ha'aras, two light ha'aras, just one thing, even before we start the ha'ara. And that is, we just learned this Gemara, right? Sometimes you have stories in Shas that are just very, very puzzling. They're just very hard to understand. Right? This story the Gemara just told. Rav Huna once came to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. They asked him what his name is. He said, my name is Rav Huna. And then he said, you want to sit down on the couch? Yeah, sure, I'll sit down on the couch. Gave him a glass of wine. He took it. He drank it in two shots. He didn't even face the other direction. And then they started questioning. They asked, when I asked you your name is Rav Huna, why did you say, why? I asked you what your name is. You said Rav Huna, why? He said, what do you mean? I don't know, that's my name. What was I supposed to have told you? And why did you do this and why did you do that? So just as a good maramachim, just a good trick. Very often when you see Gemaras like this, be ma'ayin in the Svarim Rav Reuven Margolis. Rav Reuven Margolis wrote Svarim literally on Gemaras like this. And come out, no one else did. So Rav Reuven Margolis is often the address when it comes to these Gemaras, and he loved these riddles and these enigmas, and he figured out a way to always be poiser these riddles. But Oifen Nifla Adlamoy. One of Rav Reuven Margolis' Svarim is called
L'chaker Shemois v'kinuyim b'talmud. And if you look in that sefer in Simen Yud Aleph, he has a whole arichos on Rav Huna, and Toich Tvarov, he explains this Gemara. And if you look over there, basically the gist of it is he says that Rav Huna was one of the great Amirah. How great was Rav Huna? Just to bring it out, after Rav was Nifter, after Rav passed away, he left over many, many Talmidim. Rav Huna took over the yeshiva. Rav Huna became the next Rosh Yeshiva after Rav. So there was no one that had more Talmidim than Rav. In fact, there isn't an Amir in Shas, or a Tana, that has more Talmidim saying over Torah in his name than does the Amir Rav. So Rav has, you have obscure Amirim that I mentioned one time in Shas because of something that they once heard in the name of Rav. So Rav passes away and he leaves over all these Talmidim. He was called Rav, Miloshin Rabim Shalkol B'nei Agoyla. And from all his Talmidim, somebody now had to take over the mantle. Someone had to become the next Rosh Yeshiva. So who was the next Rosh Yeshiva? It was Rav Huna. Stating that, Rav Huna didn't get along so well with the Reish Galusa. In fact, the Reish Galusa, they were the governing entity in Bavel. They never recognized Rav Huna as being a person that was even worthy and had the authority to paskin shailos. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Hamad Aleph that Rav Huna said that he received his smicha from the Nesiim and Eretz Yisrael, because in Bavel, they never recognized him. And Rav Reuven Agolis says that's why throughout Shas you find Rav Nachman and different Amiram. They used to refer to Rav Huna as Huna Chavrin. You look out for it, you'll see it everywhere. Huna Chavrin. Number one, Huna, it's Rav Huna. And besides, what does Chavrin mean? So he brings from different Maram Mekoymas, a Shmais Rabba, a Yerushalmi, that a Chavrin was somebody that didn't have smicha yet. And they used to purposely refer to Rav Huna as Rosh Yeshiva in the biggest yeshiva or the second biggest yeshiva in Babel. You had Shmuel's yeshiva in the Hardah, and you had Rav's yeshiva in Surah. After Rav is Nifter, now Rav Huna becomes Rosh Yeshiva. See, he's the biggest or second biggest yeshiva in the world, and the Olam is referring to him as Huna Chavrin. Why? Because they were undermining his credibility. They were trying to say he never was recognized as someone of authority by the Reish Galusa. As a result, he has no right to go ahead and to start passing any shas. That's why you find it again and again. He brings 20 Maram Mekoymas, where you find Rav Huna was referred to not as Rav Huna, as Huna, and Huna Chavr, which is a derogatory term. Now, for most of us, to be called a Chavr would be a tremendous compliment. But when you're the Rosh Yeshiva, the biggest yeshiva in Klal Yisrael, and you're called a Chavr, that's a way of saying, so he, Lake Su does Rav Reuven Margolis, amidst all the Maram Mekoymas that he has, he says, Kumbi, that's Pshat in this Gemara. He says, Rav Huna comes to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and they asked him, what's his name? You know what he told him my name is? My name is Rav Huna. He says, why'd you call yourself Rav Huna? He says, because that's my name. Because I have smicha. Because the Shakla Vitaria was this Shakla Vitaria, he says, that comes up in so many different places that they're trying to undermine Rav Huna. He says, no, it was V'yikarish might be Yisrael, Rav Huna. It's a chob smicha, maybe not from you. Yeah, you don't recognize my smicha, that's fine. But I have smicha from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, who, by the way, has more power than the Reish Kalusa does in Babel. You know, Ayin Shom, it's fascinating, it's brilliant. But just to end, a very intense perek, perek Ketz HaTzayim. By the way, the next few dafim, we're going to learn some Agadah to Gemara. That's the calm before the storm, before Arvei Pesachim. But just to end, a very intense perek with a little bit of Pnimius HaTorah, and that is, the Gemara says that they told Rav Huna, sit down on the couch. He sat down. So they asked him, that how come when we told you to sit down, you sat down? Louis says, what do you mean? We have a Messiah. Anything that the Balabayas tells you to do, you're supposed to listen to him, except if he tells you to go out. Kotzker Rebbe used to say, Valtzei Dafman Alein Fashtein. Right, sometimes when you're in somebody's house, you're not supposed to wait for the Balabayas to tell you to say. That's something you're supposed to figure out on your own. But this is a well-known Maimer Chazal. Kol Mash Yom Elcha Balabayas and say Chutz Mitzay. And the Makar is this one. It's one place in Shas. It's in Pesachim Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that in this line of Kol Mash Yom Elcha Balabayas and say Chutz Mitzay licked one of the biggest Yisoidus in Avodas Hashem, one of the most powerful lines of chizuk, and one of the most deep understandings of what the koyach of tshuva is. But for this, we need a little bit of an introduction. So we're all familiar with the story of the meraglim. The yidden wanted meraglim, shlach lecha anoshim, to go see what's in Eretz Yisrael. They were afraid to just go into Eretz Yisrael. They had heard rumors about very mighty kingdoms, that 36 kings, and they were afraid to go. Hashem wasn't happy about it, but ultimately the Meraglim was sent. These were the Anoshim Chashuvim. They came back, Leil Tisha B'Av, with a very bad report, and the Yidden started crying. and they realized they didn't really want to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they put up a fight. And it was because of that, it was decreed that the Yidden would have to remain in the Midbar for 40 years. It was decreed that there would be a Churban by a Shrishan, there would be a Churban by a Sheni. It was at that night it was decreed that there would be a Spanish Inquisition, and Exeter's Tach Vetat, and a World War I, and a Holocaust. It all came about because Vayivka Balailahu, and that night became a night of Bechias, and all the Tzaris of Klal Yisrael throughout the millennia were all associated somehow with that night. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to him and he says, because of what happened, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Zach the pasuk, va'idaber Moshe asadvar ma'ela el kol bnei Yisrael va'yisablu ha'am ma'od. And the Yidden started mourning. They realized what they did wrong. Says the pasuk, this is in Parsha Shlach, psukim that are tucked away, sometimes get overlooked. Va'yashkimu ba'boiker. The next morning, there were Yidden that woke up. Not all the Yidden, but some. Va'yalu al roish ha'lemar. And they climbed the mountain and they said the following: Hinenu va'olinu al amokin nashamar Hashem. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't care. Hashem said you can't go in. 40 years, we're going to remain in the Midbar. Everyone's going to we don't care. We're not listening. We're going in Kichatanu. We realize we sinned, and we realize really we were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And despite the fact that you're telling us that we can't go, we want to go in anyways. But you remember Moshe. So Moshe said, Lomaza atem oivim espi Hashem. He loit tzlich, you're making a mistake. It's not going to work. You're not going to be successful. Don't go against Hashem. I'm telling you. You were supposed to go in, but it didn't work out because of what you did. Do not go. Al talu. Ki ein Hashem bekirbechem. Hashem's not going to be with you. V'loi tinok ful lefnei oivechem. You're going to have no way of defeating your enemy. Ki amaleki v'aknani shom. The Amalekim and the Knanim are there. You need miracles to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going to have the miracle. When the Faltim Acharev, you see, you're all going to be slain. But the pasuk says they didn't care. Vayapilu. Rashi says, what does Vayapilu mean? Miloshen Chayzek. They said, we don't care. We don't care. Some Oska action. They said, we're going anyways. Vayroim Bris Hashem. They had Umoisha Loi Moshe care, but the Aron didn't go with them. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go with them. Says the pasuk, "Vayeyudu Amaleki va'Knani ayoshe barahu." Now Amalekim and the Knanim came just as Moshe Rabbeinu had predicted. "Vayakum va'yaksum ad acharma," and he defeated them and he destroyed them. Rashi says, "Vayakum va'yaksum maka achar maka." They got completely wiped out. And this is the story of the Mapilin. And this is the rest of the story. That right after Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, there was a group of Yidden, they decided, we want to go in anyways. And Vayapilu Lalo Yisrael Rosh Nahar, and it's because of the word Vayapilu that they go down as the Mapilim Miloshen Chayzik, that they didn't listen to Moshe, and they felt that they're going to go in anyways, but unfortunately, Vayakum Vayaksum, Makar HaMacha, it didn't end up well. And partially, when you read the parasha of the Mapilim, it sounds like these were Rishon Gemurim. Not only did they want Meraglim in the first place, not only did they cry when the Meraglim came back with this bad report, but now that Hashem said, don't go, all of a sudden, they do want to go. And that's Pashat the way you read the parish of the Mapilim. But the Heilige Chasam Sofer in Parsha Shlach said, he said, that's not the Pshat. And it brings a riot from a Gemara in Perek HaZorik in Masech the Shabbos. He says that really the Mapilim were not Lashon. To the contrary. He said the Mapilim were Tzadikim. He says, what do you mean they were tzaddikim? Moshe Rabbeinu told them not to go. And they went in anyways. He said, because we have a Messiah that kol mashi yoyim lecha balabayis asei chutz mitzei. That anything that the balabayis, as in the balabiru, as in the creator of the world, that tells a person to do, you have to listen to him. Chutz mitzei. Unless he tells you I'm not interested in you. If he shuts the door and he says, I want to have nothing to do with you, then you're not mechuyev to leave. Listen to the balabayis. He said, when the Eibishtu was telling the Yidden that I don't want you to go into Eretz Yisrael, I don't want you to go into Eretz Yisrael. This was the Balabayas telling the Yidden, say. And the rule is that kol mashi yoyim lecha Balabayas haseh, you have to listen to HaKadosh Baruch. Of course, Hashem tells you to do something, you have to do it. But chutz mitzeh. And this was a bechina of tzeh. And he says it's for that reason the Mapilim were right for not listening. And says the Chasam Sofer, ad kidei kach, he says that even though they were punished, and even though vayakum vayaksum, maka achar maka, he says this was all an oynish that they got in this world to be mechaper for the role that they played in the chet of the Meraglim, but ultimately they died b'tshuva. They died tzaddikim gemurim, says the Chasam Sofer. Because b'mokim shabali tshuvim oimdim, ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim lamoy. And the Chasam Sofer says they understood that kol mashi yoyimu lecha balabayis asei chutz mitzeh. The chidah in the Sefer Pesach Inayim, HaMesachtes Chagigo, Daf Yudalo, Daf Tezvav, he talks about this idea as well. That there's an Indian of Kol Mashi Yoyim Elocha Balabayis Asei Chutz Mitzei when it comes to Avodas Hashem. And the Chidah says that this was the mistake. This was the mistake that Elisha Bar Avua made. We know the Gemara says that there were Arba Nichnasu Lepardes, Benazir Ben Zoyma, Elisha Bar Avua, and Rabbi Akiva. And the only one that was Nichnas B'Shalom and Yatzah B'Shalom was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he was Nichnas B'Shalom and he was Yatzah B'Shalom. But everybody else was affected in some way. Elisha Bar Avua, the Gemara says, he went off the derech. He stopped keeping Torah mitzvahs. Elisha Bar Avua, who was one of the great Tanoim, he was one of the four that were Nichnas Lepardes. Elisha Bar Avua, who was Reb Meir's Rebbe. Reb Meir, there was no one in the whole generation, Erev and Yudgimel on the days like Reb Meir. But Elisha Bar Avua was the Rebbe of Reb Meir. But yet, he went into the paradise and it didn't work out. And the Gemara tells the story why it didn't work out. Gemara says that they were in Shemayim and he saw the Malach Matatas, one of the Malachim, he was sitting and he was writing the Schusim of Klal Yisrael. And he wondered out loud. He says, what's going on over here? How could the Malach be sitting? I was taught in Kabbalah that there's no yeshiva in Bezdin Shamayla. And here I see a Malach that's sitting. And then he uttered the fatal words. He said, could it be this two Rishiyas? Is it possible there's two Lamailas? Could that be what's going on? As soon as he said those words, a baskel came out and said, Shuvu banim shoyvavim chutz miyacher. All the shoyvavim, all the people that have gone away, they've strayed from Hashem, they could all do tshuva. Oh, but the only person that can't do tshuva is Acher. So Elisha Bar Avua heard that. He realized that this was serious, that because of the aver that he had done, there's going to be no way for him to do tshuva. So he comes back down to this world and he starts doing avers. And the Gemara said he was Boyal, Zoyna, and Yom Kippur, and the whole Gemara. And they used to say, I don't say, you're Elisha Bar Avua. How are you doing this? He says, I'm an Acher. I'm a different person. And that's how his name became Acher. Shuvu banim shoyvavim chutz miacher. This was the story. Yet the Gemara Chagiga says that Reb Meir, who was Elisha Bar Avua's Rebbe, used to continue learning Torah from him. Now he used to learn Torah, he used to try to be Makar of him. Imagine, it's the Talmud being Makar of the Rebbe. He's saying, Rebbe, chazor bach, do true. Freik the Chidah. He brings his kasha from Kadmoinim. He says, what was Reb Meir thinking? How was Reb Meir trying to get Elisha Bar Avua to do tshuva? There was a baskel that said he can't do tshuva. Elisha Bar Avua was gerecht. What, Reb Meir's going keneged the baskel? See, you'll tell me, Torah le'bashamayim. But how did Reb Meir have a right to go keneged the baskel? So says the Chidah. You know why? Because Reb Meir understood this side. That kol mashi yoyim alecha balabayis asei chutz mitzei. And the baskel that said shuvu banim shoyvavim was there to mislead Acher. It was there to make it look as if Acher had no choice. And there was going to be no way for Acher to do tshuva. But the emphasis is it's not like that. Because there's no such thing that a Yid can't do tshuva. There's no such mitzias in the whole world. Toshayiv enesh adaka v'atoymo tshuva b'nei adam. A person can literally get to the point of daka. He can get to the point where it's all over. V'atoymo tshuva b'nei adam. A person's always allowed. And even if the balabayis, the evishta, the basko, this is a nevuah, says shuvu banim shayva, and it doesn't matter. Because kol mashi yoyim locha balabayis asei chutz mitzei. And Reb Meir understood this, and that's what Reb Meir kept on telling Ach. He said, don't listen to the baskel. Don't listen to it, because it's just misleading you. You're right. You fell to a point that now you're being misled to think that you're not really able to do tshuva. But really, really you're able to do tshuva. The truth is, we've spoken about this raid in the past. But the ein beis medrash b'loy chiddush nifla. And that is Rav Tzadik HaKoyen in the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik. And this is an Ois Mem Vav. He also talks about this idea of Kol Mashi Yoyim Lecha Balabayis Asei Chutz Mitzeh. And he says what the Chassam Sofer said, that that was what the Ma'pilim did. The Ma'pilim understood that Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem doesn't want you anymore. No, there's no such thing. We know that. There's no such thing that Eibusha doesn't want us. Because it's all a trick. It's all a facade. Kol Mashi Yoyim Lecha Balabayis Asei Chutz Mitzeh. And he says the Ma'pilim were tzaddikin for doing what they did. He says, if that's the case, why were they killed? So why were they killed? So he says, a dover nifla. Something unbelievable. He says, the Gemara says, in the end of Masechta Soita, be'ikfas de Meshicha, chutzpe yaska. That in ikfas de Meshicha, there's going to be a tremendous amount of chutzpe. Everybody knows the Gemara, and everybody can relate to what the Gemara means. Be'ikfas de Meshicha, chutzpe yaska. It said, Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, that in Pnimiyas HaTorah, you know what it means, be'ikfas de Meshicha, chutzpe yaska? He says, there's going to be a dar before Mashiach comes, that people are going to feel so low, they're going to feel so removed from their avodas Hashem, they're going to do averis that's going to make them feel so metuntum and so disconnected that they're going to think there's no way in the world I could do tshuva. I can't daven, I can't learn. I have no shaykhis. How in the world am I supposed to face my Creator and say Baruch Atah Hashem? Why would I sit and learn? What nachas ruach is Eibusha possibly going to have from my Torah? I'm so meluchlich bechet. I'm in my proverbial shan mem tes of tumah. And the Gemara foresaw this generation. Because this would be a dar be'ikfas in the Mashiach. And you know what the Gemara said? You know how this dar is going to merit Mashiach? You know what this dar is going to have to do?
do? They're going to have chutzpah. They're going to have to be mapilin. They're going to have to turn to the Eitz Sahara and say, I understand what you're saying. And a cheshbin may be a gerecht. Because I hear the baskel that says, shuvu banim shoivavim chutz miyache. Or I also know that Chazal said, kol mashi yoyim l'cho balabayis asei chutz miyaseh. And Rav Tzadik said, that's going to be the avoida of the doir achra. That's going to be the avoida of the ikvus of the Mashiach. That every yid, no matter all the voices that he has in his head, and no matter how rational they may be, and how gerecht they may be, but in this door, the ikvus of the Mashiach, there's an hanhog of chutz b'yaska. He says, the mapilim understood the madrega of chutz b'yaska, but that wasn't the door for it. It wasn't yet the ikvus of the Mashiach. And in that door, they weren't successful. What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the mapilim? He didn't say, you're a shoyim. Your oisvars, that's not what he said. He said, v'hiloi sitzloch, you're not going to be successful. Said Rav Tzadik HaKohen, all he told him was, you're not going to be successful. I'm telling you, going there, it's a suicide mission. He said, it's not going to work out. The Kananim are waiting, they're going to pounce on you. But they said, what do you mean? Kol mashi yoyim l'cha balabayis asei chutz miyaseh. He said, b'sgerecht. In Shura Sadin, you're 100% right. And save that thought for thousands of years from now. And there's going to be a door where that generation is going to take this chutzpah and they're going to fife on all the voices and all the noises that they hear when everybody's trying to tell them, and they will be matzliach. Oh, but now v'hiloi sitzlach. You're not going to have atzmacha. And that's all he told. He never said you're wrong. He said v'hiloi sitzlach. He said it's not going to play out. But said Rav Tzadik that in the door before Mashiach is going to come, the nesoyin is going to be that everyone's going to feel like they have their own proverbial shuvu banim shayvavim chutz miyachar. And the nesoyin, the way we're going to have to come about it, the way we're going to fight it, is by understanding that kol mashiyoy melucha balabayis asay chutz mitzay. It's going to be that chutzpah. It's going to be the chutzpah of be'ikvus of the Mashiach chutz b'yaska. And he says, it's not going to be it's going to be matzliach. And in fact, this midah of chutzpah v'ikvus in the Mashiach, said Rav Tzadik, is ultimately what's going to usher in the geula. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen.